Good evening, everybody. I'm going to need my glasses. How many have had cataract surgery? You did not. He never had it. Yeah, right. Okay. I'm probably going to need that soon. I'll probably need that one soon. Maybe not. Thanks for that false prediction. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, settle down this rowdy group this evening. Happy group. We're happy with the happiness. We share the happiness of God. Thank you, Father, that you've made us happy, even though we don't live in the happiest of circumstances. But your grace is sufficient for us, for your strength is perfected in our weakness, and you always come through in a pinch. You specialize in the impossible, and so you do well for us, and your plan is perfect, and we're not. Therefore, you have a perfect plan for imperfect man. We're so grateful that you sent your Son to die, to pay for our sins on the cross, and to give us the opposite of what we deserve in terms of blessing, goodness, kindness, and favor, and also withhold the consequences of our negative decisions so often we don't even have to pay the piper because of your mercy. It's the difference between grace and mercy. We also praise you, Father, for the wonderful mystery that you've revealed to us, the marvelous mystery tour that each and every believer is on. Not magical, but marvelous mystery tour. And we thank you for these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. The marvelous mystery tour tonight. You want to go on the marvelous mystery tour? Here's all the, I made these. These are going to be all on the wall. Every one of our verses for the mystery. Everyone that has the word mystery and it's going to be on the wall. I have them ready to go. I just have to find a good way to put them on there somewhere where we can see them. We cover this place with the Word of God. That's what we're here for. Like the children of Israel were told to do in Deuteronomy. Put it on the fence post, put it on the gate, put it on the phylacteries, on your forehead, everywhere that you look. Talk about it when you rise up and when you lie down. At your dinner table, at your breakfast table, lunch, and dinner table. So, the Marvelous Mystery Tour, Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. The Marvelous Mystery Tour, not magical, is coming to take you away. It is. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, that's where we're at. Coming to take you away, maybe today. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, stop, look, and listen. Idu, that's what it means. Stop, look, and listen. Pay careful attention to what is to follow. He says, behold, a mystery to you, Usterion, that which was hidden until it was revealed to Paul. All that is unique, distinct, and unprecedented, belonging to church age believers only, kept hidden from ages and generations, from men and from angels, until the appropriate time, which corresponds with Paul being taken into the third heaven spiritually and receiving the detailed analysis of Christ, who Christ is, his true identity, and the true identity of the church, which is his body, and all things regarding Christ and his church. So he says, behold, stop, look, and listen, a mystery to you all, I speak, Lego, I speak. He says, we all, Pontes, we all will not sleep. Perhaps before you go to bed tonight, or some night soon, you will be taken out and away. Sleep is a euphemism here for death, because death is no more traumatic than falling asleep. Now what happens afterwards to an unbeliever should surely give cause for alarm, but not death itself. Death doesn't hurt. It's interesting that the weapon that Satan uses effectively to keep men from believing is the fear of death, which should make men flee for refuge to Christ for eternal life, but instead makes men suppress the fact that they will die one day, and after that the judgment, be judged afterward. If there wasn't life after death, there would be no hope in life, no reason to live or to restrain oneself from every lust or pleasure. So he says, we will not all sleep, die, that is. It's a euphemism for death. It's like falling asleep. He says, but all will be changed. Who's all? Everybody? Yeah, really, truly, they will be. Those who are Christ's will have glorious resurrection bodies, and those who die in a state of unbelief will have damnation bodies, according to Daniel chapter 12. Damnation bodies. But we'll all be changed. But here he's talking about the time when Christ comes to the point of the sky, the mystery appearing of Christ, the parousia, when he comes here and we go there with him to be forever with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. And here in our passage, he says, but all will be changed. Alalasso. All of us, that is, who believe in Christ as God and Savior, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, shall be saved, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 16, 15 or 16, whatever it is, I forget, but somewhere in there. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and likewise shall be changed, all of us, whether dead or alive, at the coming of Christ. Alalasso here means to take another form, from allos, which means another of the same kind, not heteros, which would mean another, like heterosexual, heteros, another of a different kind. This is another of the same kind. The form is that of glorified, deathless, sinless, spiritual humanity. The change will come in a flash, all at once, as we will see, in an atomic moment, or in a single REM, rapid eye movement, an REM moment, or twinkling of an eye, which is quicker than two shakes of a lamb's tail. Next, he says, verse 52, he says, in a moment. The word is atomos. I say an atomic moment. That's where we get the word atomic. Smallest division of time possible. An atomic moment. Like an atomic particle. An atomic moment. Then he says, in a ripe. That means a flash, a glimmer, a blink of an eye. One REM. Likewise, death comes that way, that quickly. The same way, suddenly, without sensation, and immediate loss of consciousness, followed by brilliant light, glorious awareness, as though one is alive for the first time. Shocking reality and experience of life and vitality, in comfort, compensation, glorious health, mental wellness, clarity never before experienced. Moment we die, we shock all the limitations of our present humanity. Biological, psychological, spiritual, eternal or glorious, all of those, so wondrous and fabulous, it will take a little getting used to. More so for some than others. For those who had a few heavenly moments or days on earth, the adjustment won't be quite so hard, but for those who never or so infrequently were exposed knowingly to heavenly phenomenon, like overwhelming peace or joy, love, gratitude, having been helped, healed, rescued, preserved, it will seem just a little strange, this new wonderful life. And so he says, we will in a moment, then he says, in the blink of an eye, he said, ripe ophthalmu, which is an eye, the blink, ripe ophthalmu, in the blink of an eye, in 1/1000th of a second, or 1 REM, that's how quick a rapid eye movement is in sleep. 2 periods of sleep are characterized by rapid eye movements. They last a total of about an hour and a half of your entire sleep cycle. 1 rapid eye movement, 1/1000th of a second. The distance of time between high-speed frames in a movie film is slower than that. There are 30 frames per second in a movie, in a film, and here 1/1000th of a second, undetectable, unless it could be stopped and measured, and it can't be. It's too fast to even measure. So quicker still, 1 rapid eye movement, that phase of sleep that puts you in a movie. You know, it's like a movie camera. And you go into the movie. You star in the movie. Put you in the movies. Every night I'm in the movies. I'm the star of the movie. And I don't remember most of them, thankfully. Because they tend to be a little weird. Some are entertaining. Some are scary. Some are just a little strange. They incorporate things that you've seen and done and heard all day long and that register with the subconscious mind. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we're very complex beings in the mentality of our soul, and the way that our soul works, and the electrical systems of our body and brain, and how all these things function. Beautiful things. Wonderful things. And what this goes beyond our dreams, our wildest dreams, and imaginations, the things that God's prepared for those who love Him. So, whereas this will be like a dream, but one of wonderful reality from which we will never wake up, nor need to sleep. You'll never need to sleep there ever again. Due to boundless and undepleted energy and vitality and a glorified body of untold capability. You will see through, walk through, move through solid objects from one place to another at will, engage in pleasurable activities without restraint or restriction. Why do I say that? Well, because there won't be any possibility of sin. No one will overeat, overdrink, or overindulge in anything, since there will be no limitations. Won't that be great? Looking forward to the eating part. Everyone, some people live to eat, and some of us eat to live. No, some of us eat to live, and others live to eat. And that can be bad, too. Anyway, so. But everyone will be first and foremost interested in and occupied with the Lord Jesus. Nothing else will matter. Really matter. You have all these wonderful things, but nothing else will matter as much as your personal relationship and intimacy and proximity to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, in a moment, I go back here and see where I'm at, because I forget already. In the blink of an eye, that's what he says. Then he says, in the last trump. That's salpige, which is trump or trumpet. He says, at the last trump. That means the last trump is the last term of Donald J. Trump. No, it isn't. He won't have another term. Or will he? You know, 2024 is coming. Or is it? I wonder if we will be here 4 years from now. I don't know about you, but I'm hoping to experience this verse firsthand. And that very soon. Very soon. I would love to see the Lord. Then he says, Salpizo again, which means the trumpet will sound. The trumpet will sound. I can't wait to hear the joyful sound, that trumpet. Then he says, for gar, for you see, explanatory conjunction, subordinate conjunction, for you see. Now the question arises, what is this last trump that he's talking about? From Revelation 8:6 to Revelation 11:15, seven angels blow their trumpets to signal key events. The final trumpet, we are told, signals the end of the mystery, which I believe is the exit resurrection of the church. In Revelation 8:6, it says, and you can mark this down, you can look it up if you'd like, but we're not, it's a very brief verse. It says, and the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. Revelation 10:7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he's about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished. As he preached to his servants, the prophets. Revelation 11:15 says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. At which time the Antichrist is revealed. That is, when the church is removed, but not until the church is gone, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:7. So it can't be, he can't be here until the church is gone. For the mystery of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, is already at work, only he who now restrains will do so until he, the one who restrains, is taken out of the way. Though the timeline is difficult to determine, there are certain things like 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the verse I just read to you, where we're told that clarify the sequence of events. Also in Revelation, the vignettes, that's all the little stories and judgments and the things, the pictures that are shown in like thumbnails, are sometimes presented and revisited out of order. I believe that the seal judgments, there's seven of them, trumpets and bowls or vials, are the same judgments viewed from different angles with different details. But whether they are or not, or are consecutive events, they all occur in short order, all in 3.5 years, literally. The first 3.5 years is peaceful and without incident. The second 3.5 years, from the time of the abomination of desolation, when Antichrist sets himself up in the temple and declares himself to be God and insists and demands that everyone at the peril of their own life worship him, that's when all hell breaks loose in heaven at the same time. So, I believe they're all the same. All the judgments, those three sets of 7, 21, are the same. And they occur in short order and throw the world into complete turmoil, creating the opportunity for the mystery of iniquity and the incarnation of evil to step into human history as the false Messiah, who is called the man of sin, the son of perdition, the beast, the false prophet, and or the Antichrist, who will take the helm and exceed the governing power of any other person in world history when he comes to power. No, it's not Joe Biden, nor is it Kamala Harris. And time will tell whether or not they're working for him. We don't know yet. Pray for them. In the meantime, pray for their salvation and their willingness to be directed by the Lord to make wise decisions for our nation. You can put them on the list now, see? If you didn't have them already, I had them on all along. From our detailed prayer list. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and their families. It's wise and prudent to pray for our leaders and to never speak evil of them. Try not to do that, okay? It's just for your own safekeeping, your own well-being. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, Paul says, first of all then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that they may lead, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, as long as it's not open season on believers, then we'll be fine. Even if everything else goes to hell in a handbasket, we'll be preserved by the Lord. Psalm 91. 1,000 fall at your right, 10,000 at your left, it won't come near you. No matter who is in office, we carry on with the most important pursuit in life. That is to know the Lord and His Word. So he says, then, he says, we shall not all sleep in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And he says, then he says, and Kai, the dead, those who died in the Lord, not all people that are dead, but those who died in the Lord, in this instance, will rise. It's a gyro, E-G-E-I-R-O, transliterated from in the English, from the Greek. Egyro will rise. This is a future fact. It's a future passive, plural, indicative verb, which means it's a fact. It's a future fact, something that will happen in the future, wherein God raises all believers from the dead at the mystery appearing, or parousia, which means appearing, of Christ. Those of us, all of us, who believe in Christ are raised on the inside before we die, if we are not part of the rapture generation, before we die, physically, will in the end, or at this time, rise from physical death, never to die again. He says, the dead will rise incorruptible. The word is aphthartos, a plus thartos, which means athartoi, or athartos, means without corruption, referring to the bodies of glory bestowed to all of us all at once, to all who are raised and translated from the temporal to the eternal sphere. It happens at the coming of Christ to the point of the sky. Then he says, and, Kai again, we, hey mice, will be changed, alalasso again, changed into a spiritual person, persona, and body, like the body of Jesus, even as we are, in fact, the body of Christ. We will resemble Him in so many ways that we will be scarcely recognizable. I'll say to you, and you'll say to me, is that you? You look so good. Look like Jesus. And of course it will be, and shall be, forevermore. So much like Jesus. Yes, you and me. Isn't that wonderful to consider? Verse 53, he says, for you see, once again, explanatory subordinating conjunction, gar, for you see, it must, D-A, D-E-I, die, or day, D-A, must of necessity, it must, or of necessity, the corruptible, that is, these bodies that we have here, that which breaks down, decomposes, or rots, these bodies, that will die. He says, for you see, it must of necessity, the corruptible, and it says this, or our present bodies, these physical bodies subject to decay and death. He says, to put on incorruption. It's necessary that the corruptible put on incorruption. A body that will not break down, decompose, or rot. That'll be good. Then he says, and Kai, the mortal. Then we got thetos. Thetos is here, one subject to death. Subject to death. Thetos. Mortal means subject to death. Then he says, this, again, this mortal, this one that we have presently, that we walk around in for 70 years on earth, that's the one he's talking about, our earth suits, suited to the planet that we live on, made of the same elements that the earth is made of, same compounds and materials. And he says, this mortal, to put on, or to put on immortality. These bodies of immortality will suddenly dawn and remain forever, providing us with abilities and capacities that we could never even imagine that we would have, with a mentality equivalent to and compatible with our bodily capability in a perfect body. No disconnects between thinking and doing, aspiring and achieving. It will all be consistent and truly righteous. No negative capability, but rather endowed with resident power from the Word and the Spirit in an omnidimensional, you say, where do you get to all these big words? I made them up. Reality. Wherein the spiritual is the physical. And the physical that we know and experience here with its limitations is no more. It won't be the same at all. Like the bodies will be given, so too the new reality that comes with them. I can't wait! It'll be great! This body here, yours, has served us well, yet it's getting weak. Anybody realize that, recognize that? And it's falling apart. But the one that I'll be receiving, and you'll be receiving soon enough, will be none of those things. And better than we can even begin to imagine. So he says, this mortal put on immortality. Here, once again, athanasia, which is immortality or deathlessness. Put on deathlessness. A body no longer subject to death. One that cannot die or be diminished in any way at all. Not subject to the forces of nature. Aging, fatigue, injury, illness, or weakness, and not needing to eat or requiring sleep. Where eating is concerned, it will continue to exist as a pleasurable activity and one that has spiritual significance. For example, eating the hidden manna. In Revelation 2:17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. You get to eat that. Bread, heavenly bread that others will not receive. Wonderful truth that you're capacitated for because you love the Word of God while you were here. Sitting down to eat and drink, as we're told, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom in Matthew 8:11. I say to you, Jesus says, that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. What are they going to do? Recline at the table and eat. They'll be eating. We know Jesus ate fish and honey in his glorified body, a body which had physicality, although it was a spiritual body, and fits a description that I gave it in the previous comments that I made. Luke 24:39 says, see my hands, Jesus says, and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it right before their eyes. Yet, Jesus, even though he had this and the ability to do such things, and showed them by eating, that he had physicality, yet he could come and go, appear and disappear, at will, and travel at the speed of thought. On the road to Emmaus, at the lake of Tiberias, where he made breakfast for the disciples, this is all after his resurrection, his disciples who went fishing in the upper room once, without Thomas, and a week later, when Thomas was present, both times, walking through the wall and closed door, and disappearing from their sight when he was finished speaking with them. This is how Dr. Luke says it in Acts chapter 1. He says, Acts 1:1, the first account I could post, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, and they watched him go up. After he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles, whom he had chosen, to these, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing or indisputable proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and seasons, or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost or remotest parts of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing, stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." He's coming to the point of the sky. All of this and more has been told us to engage us, to inflame our imaginations with glorious wonder from the place of grace in which we stand as we consider the grace that shall be ours when on that day we stand on spiritual soil and sod in the new heavens and the new earth, living in the new Jerusalem. Many, with a new name and royal title, sailing through the universe and landing wherever the Spirit leads. It'll be so great. In continual occupation and communication with the Lord Jesus in the command center that by his presence shines and lights the universe with glorious, radiant splendor that comes out from him and returns to him. He's the source of all light. Here on earth, there is little concern for the heavenly when there should be major concern, since it will last a lot longer, even forever, as opposed to the 70 or so years that we live upon the earth. We must therefore put aside our petty concerns and conflicts and focus on the important, upon the eternal, in order that we do not miss any of the good things that await a believer who's merely willing. In John 7:17, "If any man's willing, he'll know. The doctrine is God's. Let us therefore devote ourselves to the Lord Jesus, the Word of God, the mind of Christ, and the voice of the Holy Spirit, who is calling us in these end times, in these last days." In Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith. Let us be found waiting in blessed hope." In 1 Thessalonians 1:9-10, he says, "For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven," waiting for him, "whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." In Titus 2:11, "The blessed hope, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation," or extending salvation, "to all men, instructing us to deny or say no to ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Don't disregard me. Looking for and loving Christ's appearing, anticipating personal glorification. That's what we're to do. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, Paul says, I fought the good fight. Some of us are at the point where we need to see if we can say the same thing. Fought the good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. In the future there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, here's good news, but also to all who love his appearing. It could be you and me. Paul is praying for us even then. Never fear, for it's plain and clear that the Lord Jesus is coming to rescue us from the wrath to come. Don't worry a lick about any of it. At that moment, one and all will receive from him a glorious body like his, and everything will be fine, and we will live happily ever after. Might have a little adjustment period, but we'll live happily ever after. Some with joy, great joy, ecstatic joy, and others with resignation happiness, unfortunately, because they didn't take advantage of the opportunity that was there. They squandered their opportunity. Didn't do the one thing that was needed or necessary, and so it was taken from them. At that moment, we will receive a glorious body like his. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Same thing. Talking about the same thing in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 2. Trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, those who died, having believed in Christ, will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. That's at the same time, simultaneous. In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Can only mean that. Can't mean anything else. And so we shall forever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I like to read that often. Comfort one another with these words. There's nothing to worry about, nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be disappointed about. God is in control, and Jesus Christ is the sovereign controller of human history and the politics of a nation. Don't worry. Be happy. This is part and parcel of the mystery, the information hidden in God until it was revealed to Paul in heaven, who fed it, whose job it was, mission it was, to feed it to the church with an eyedropper. And he did a good job. So what more can I say? I'll save the rest for another day. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mysterion, a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment. In one rapid eye movement, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed permanently. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. See, he's coming to get us, so get ready. Let some things go and get other things going. Some other things going. Occupy, as Jesus said, until he comes. You will be so glad you did when you see that he's presenting you with a full reward, though there were a lot of things you didn't do. But there was one thing you did, and that will serve you well and will not be taken from you. In Luke 10:42, if you chose that good thing, it won't be taken from you. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for a wonderful message of hope as we look for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Great God and Savior, Granville Sharperell, same person. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change these bodies of humiliation into the likeness of his glorious body. And our citizenship will be in heaven, the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. And some with great and marvelous exaltation and proximity, privileges beyond anything that they could ever ask, think, or imagine, or dream of. And others just happy, so happy, eternally happy to be there. Father, we thank you for all these things, the great privileges you provided or you presented to us that we could take full advantage of even now. Even if we started poorly, we can finish very well. And I thank you for that. Father, I pray for those in this congregation who may have taken offense at the messages as they've come forth in recent weeks. Please, Father, show them that it's okay. Everybody has problems from time to time. And we love you, all of you. And sometimes things have to be done and said, and it's over, done. So everybody can come back and be the spiritual athletes and exercise yourselves unto godliness once again. And let some things go and then get other things going. Father, we just thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Also, Father, that the offering this evening would bring glory to Christ by its prudent and wise use in disseminating the Word of God into places perhaps it's never gone before. We also lift up the possibility of a radio broadcast that we're looking at right now, and maybe we'll have Pastor Terry Gump do the radio broadcast, because I'm old and tired. And he's young and vital still, somewhat. Father, thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.